Hello, everyone, and welcome to Meow Mix, Carolina Panthers podcast. My name is Steven.
My name is Jerry.
And we are here to talk the Carolina Panthers. And there's a bit of things to talk about today. Some sad, depending on your geographic location. Some weird. Most of it is a little concerning to Panthers fans in terms of the state of the franchise.
Concerning, yet...
Yeah.
Kind of not, expected, or what we...
Not surprising.
As fans thought.
Not surprising. We will also discuss the Panthers-Saints matchup towards the end of the podcast, so skip right to that if that's all you're interested in, but...
YouTube, I always add the little...
Yeah.
Little
yeah.
spaces.
Yeah. So, Jerry, let's just kick it off with probably the most important news, especially to Hayden Hurst. What's going on here?
Hayden Hurst has been diagnosed with post-traumatic amnesia by an independent neurologist. So not with the team or anything. I didn't even know that existed, but that sounds awful.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's like a concussion, like post-concussion type.
It is from the concussion he occurred in the Chicago game. That's what I read. Now, it's obviously a lingering issue, and I mean, amnesia is never good, but honestly, for him, I mean, at this point, you should go on IR. I mean, this is no longer just, you know, oh, he'll play again. This is, hey, you want yourself healthy for the rest of your life or your family. He needs to go on IR and decide what he wants to do for the future. Because if this has long-term effects, I mean.
So just for those of us that didn't know what post-traumatic amnesia was, this is from Google, just a high-level overview. As the time after a period of unconsciousness when the injured person is conscious and awake, but is behaving or talking in a bizarre or uncharacteristic manner. So just someone who doesn't really know or isn't able to communicate like they normally would, right? Maybe they don't know who they are, where they are, you know, kind of like maybe like Alzheimer's type symptoms, I guess, you know, for someone that doesn't have Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that's what that was kind of my assumption that it was happening.
Yeah. That's scary.
That's really scary. Yeah. I don't even remember the hit, which is
I mean, these brain injuries are just they're all so different, and they can happen. It just depends on where you're hit. Sometimes not even as hard as you're hit or how hard you're hit. I don't remember the hit either, but obviously, you know, T's and P's with Hayden, and hopefully he's able to, you know, recover fully.
Yeah, you never want to see that opponents or your own team. I mean, just you want these guys to have a good, long, healthy life after football. At least I do. I you know.
Yeah, of course.
Wish no ill will on anybody, even if they're, you know, Saints or Falcons players. I don't. Yeah.
Right. Right, yeah, we don't wish them, you know, we don't want them to play well, but we don't want them to live a life of misery after football. That's not great. But Jerry, and you know, segueing here, away from you know, personal injury over to a goodbye of sorts. The Panthers will no longer hold training camp at Wofford College.
I
mean, the official news was that they will not hold it there next year, but I don't see them going back ever.
Yeah, that was a Jerry Richardson type of thing.
Yeah.
I was shocked that it kind of lasted as long as it did under David Tepper. But with that being said, with him already trying to build that facility in Rock Hill and all the other issues with the Rock Hill thing, I figured eventually it was going to go away. I mean, it doesn't sound like they're really prepared to have it go away, but they're going away.
Yeah, I mean, so the plan is to bring it to Charlotte. They're going to knock down the tent, like the big bubble. And I guess they're going to build a couple more practice fields there. There really isn't a ton of information in terms of, you know, how they're going to hold training camp, whether fans are going to be invited to every practice like they did, you know, at Wofford. I would assume fans will be involved, you know, somehow, right? Pretty mm-hmm. much every team. That's a big draw during the offseason. I'm sure Tepper will try to make money off it somehow. But, I mean, I'm happy because I hated driving to Wofford.
And it was always so stinking hot. Like, it was
so hot. Such a long walk to the field from where you parked. And just, you know, sitting on that hill.
In the beating sun.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sad by this at all. I'm kind of happy, honestly.
I feel bad for South Carolinians because they are the Carolina Panthers, and they really, that was their mm-hmm. part of the team.
Right.
But yeah, I am not at all hating the fact I don't have to drive down there to watch the team. I don't have to sit there with gallons of water, mm-hmm. gallons of sunscreen on me because I'm pale and burned. You know, I'm happy for that. I did like the kind of atmosphere that it kind of encouraged, though, with cheering them on and getting closer to the players. So I'm hoping that doesn't go away.
Yeah, I mean, they can obviously replicate that here. You know, and depending on what they do, maybe even to a greater extent, we'll have to see. But yeah, I like you, you know, I guess it sucks for South Carolinians who this was kind of their time, I guess, to not have to drive too far to see the team. But, you know, they're based in Charlotte. He tried to do the Rock Hill thing. He tried to base the team out of South Carolina. I mean, that was the plan. And for a multitude of reasons, it didn't work out. But goodbye, Wofford. Goodbye, the last Wofford. Vestiges of Jerry Richardson, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. It's just,
yeah.
It just is. You what brought it is. This up to me, and I didn't even notice yet. But
yeah, yeah. You know, it is what it is. It's, you know, speaking of Jerry Richardson, some of the things that have been going on, and I encourage everyone to go read the Athletic article written by Joe Person and was it Diana Rossini? I think co-wrote this article. And it really goes into some detail about some behind the scenes things that are going on with the team right now, have been going on with the team with Frank Reich. And it doesn't, it's not good.
Yeah. Real quick. It is from The Athletic, and you were right with Joe Person and Deanna Rossini. What happened with the Panthers, Hunger Games, culture, backstabbing, and another fired coach? I mean, It gets kind of dirty there, and I highly suggest reading it. It's very good.
Yeah. You know, bullet points here. You know, they're talking a lot about, you know, backstabbing that was happening, mm-hmm. you know, as the season has gone on and the losses keep piling up. And
how Frank coaches Reich and Scott Fitter were going around Frank Reich's back and talking mm-hmm. directly to David Tepper, which I feel like Fitter is fine doing that because as a GM,
sure. He reports to David Tepper.
Yeah, but other coaches?
Yeah, it sounds like maybe other coaches were going to Fitterer, and then together they were going to Tepper. But, you know, basically just things like, you know, Bryce Young needs to work on his footwork. You know, he's dropping back too far. He's not dropping back far enough. He's, you know, just small things like that. But I guess Frank Reich was just not hearing it or, you know, we know that Frank Reich did not want to implement certain things into his system.
Yeah.
He was just not interested in that at all. So, you know, a lot of this stuff is, I think, a direct result of that, of Frank Reich's unwillingness to change.
I also think it's partly to blame on the way that David Tepper supposedly, I'm saying supposedly here, forced him to reach out of his circle to make some hires. He forced him to go outside to hire Thomas Brown and stuff like that and try to meld their ideas right. together. And unfortunately, if these guys weren't going to work well together, even though they may have had all intentions to do it, when it hit the fan, everyone's for himself. And that's kind of what part of the article said is
yeah.
everyone knew what was about to happen and they just started trying to save themselves.
Yeah, once the writing was on the wall that Frank Reich was probably not going to be retained, you know, it became all about, like you said, save yourself. Throw anyone under the bus you have to try and make yourself look good. But yeah, they did go into the article and went into, you know, that what you just said basically was that Frank Reich was sort of forced to put together an all-star staff, which, you know, we've seen all-star teams been put together in various sports and it just doesn't work, right? You put together
in basketball, it works quite often.
It works and it doesn't work, right? It depends on the chemistry. It depends on who's willing to give and take, right? And sometimes people are not willing to take it all or to give it all. They just want to take. And I'm not saying that's the case here, but it sounds like that there was a lot of dysfunction and a lot of just the schemes just didn't fit together. Thomas Brown's scheme and Frank Reich's scheme just didn't mesh at all.
And it felt like they didn't have a cohesive idea of how to build Bryce Young up.
Yeah.
Because from what I read, it sounds like some of the coaches wanted to get Bryce under center, do mm-hmm. some play action, and Frank was all about the shotgun and pistol.
Yeah, and there was a report saying that some coaches wanted to bench Bryce.
Yeah.
They didn't think he was ready. They wanted to sit him down and let him watch and, you know, maybe work on some of those fundamental things with him. Apparently, according to the article, that those requests never even made it to Frank Reich and Scott Fitterer. How true that is, who knows? How true any of this is, who knows? You know, it's Scott Joe Person. I feel like I trust what he writes.
I do too.
I understand if some fans are wary of any type of news like we've seen over the last few years.
Yeah.
Who knows with some of this stuff, but Joe Person's been around a long time and has those connections. And I feel like as a guy that just doesn't make stuff up. Right.
Yeah. So, I personally think, he's my favorite beat writer for the Panthers.
Agreed. Agreed.
I feel like he wants his team to do well. And I think that's legitimate that he doesn't want to write these articles, but at the same time, He's covering the team and needs to write the article.
It's his job. Yeah. He doesn't work for the Panthers. He works for the Athletic. And, we can see the dysfunction. You see the dysfunction as a fan.
Yeah.
Just watch the games. Listen to David Tepper speak. You know, it doesn't take a giant leap of logic to believe that this stuff is real.
And think about this, too. Was it the report that David Tepper brought offensive coaches a play from Cincinnati or Cleveland to tell them mm-hmm. to play it next week? I mean, come on.
Again, that's a report that's out there. At, you know, Joe Person didn't report that, but another reporter has. But again, do I put it past him? Knowing what we know, seeing what we've seen, hearing what we've heard? No. And if you go and by the way, this article was sourced, it said, from about 20 different players, coaches, staff members from the team. Some of whom were on the record, such as Bradley Bozeman, DJ Chark. Basically, it sounds like, it does not sound like any of them are really upset that Frank Reich is gone.
No.
It was just not a good environment. Adam Thielen spoke the other day and basically said this is not what he signed up for coming here. He obviously thought things were going to be different and is going to have to reevaluate, you know, when the time comes. Which, you know, he's under contract, so I don't know what, I guess he could request a trade, but he makes a lot of money, and I don't know if other teams are going to want to pay that, but, it just, it does speak to the fact that this is not a well-run organization right now.
No, not at all. There is one caveat. I do want to put a little bow on this, is that in the article they did say that the defense wasn't a part of this. The dysfunction and stuff. Evro hired his own guys. They're running their own team. Not their own team, their own scheme and everything else. So
right.
And you see it on the field.
Yeah, and Reich was hands off.
Yeah.
With the defense, right? He's not a defensive guy. So, unfortunately, he did want to run the offense. Thomas Brown, I'm sure, was brought in with the promise that he was going to get to run the offense. And obviously that changed. You know, even when Thomas Brown was given the keys to call plays, that was ripped away from him a couple of weeks later. So none of this has gone well.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to change. Like reading these articles, everyone's reading these articles.
Yeah.
All these possible head coaches, they're all seeing this. They're all talking. And apparently, according to the article, that there are people reaching out to Ben Johnson from the Panthers organization telling him that this is a very difficult place to be. Is that going to cause Ben Johnson to just not even consider coming here?
I mean, from his perspective, I could easily see why.
He's going to be in demand. Ben Johnson's
going to be very highly regarded getting a job.
And I was kind of thinking the other day, like, what jobs are going to be available? I think there's going to be like 6-7 jobs. You know, and some of them have good quarterbacks, the Chargers, right? Yeah. Could you not see Ben Johnson going to the Chargers and having a lot of success with those weapons, that team? There are a lot more appealing places to go just from what's on the field, and not to mention the dysfunction within the front office and ownership.
Yeah, I mean, owners... I mean, I'm hoping David Tepper is hearing all this. It gets through him that he can't run this team like this. It's not working. He needs to be more hands off. He needs to let the guys do what they do.
Yeah.
And fire Scott Fitterer, because look at his drafts.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if Tepper is that kind of guy, honestly. You know, this is a guy we've talked about it before. This is a guy that is used to getting whatever he wants and winning whatever he does. Is he going to be the guy that says, oh, I suck at this? Do you see that from David Tepper?
No,
I don't. I don't. I do think he wants to win.
Oh, I 100% think he wants to win.
He wants to do a good job, but I don't know that he can help himself. I think he's just going to have to, you know. And I can't say I blame him. Like, if I owned a team, I'd probably want to be pretty hands-on, too, you know? He's
like a fat kid in a candy store that's unmonitored.
No offense to fat people. present company included. All right.
I actually wanted to bring this up before we jump into our game preview. I wanted to do a quick observation of last week's offensive PFF ratings, because it was a first time with Frank Reich, and they had the second highest PFF rating on offense of all season.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of like not shocked, because I could kind of see it on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Chuba Hubbard was on top. Not surprising. DJ Shark was actually very high up there as well. Taylor Moten, Jonathan Mingo. Bryce Young was in the middle of the pack, 13th, which isn't the best, but he's been typically on the lower.
Yeah.
And our starting guards were our last two. So, yeah,
well, that's not surprising.
So there you go. I mean, that's what it is. The guards I can't really hate on too much, just because of the simple fact, I mean, Justin McCray and Nash Jensen weren't even on the actual team.
They weren't even supposed to be on the team. Nash Jensen, I thought, looked pretty terrible.
McCray was graded worse, but yes, they both.
Well, I didn't say McCray looked good, but I thought Nash Jensen in particular, just from watching the game, looked pretty bad. So McCray, honestly, if you'd have asked me who the other guard was, I wouldn't even be able to tell you.
Yeah. I thought it was very surprising that
yeah,
it was the second highest PFF of the season, and the two guys that unfortunately we all knew were going to be at the bottom were at the bottom. Yeah. But, you know, it was nice to see maybe if they could put something together.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that the line is so bad because especially right there in the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where you don't want your pressure, right, is coming straight at you, straight up the middle. It's just unfortunate. But I did see that Horn and Deontay Brown, no, not Deontay Brown, Derek Brown, were both above 90. We don't have that. You didn't put the scores in here, so I haven't looked at them. But I did see that.
I did not actually check defense. I was looking at strictly offense. Let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah, I saw they were both above 90, so...
Yeah,
good job.
They are 91 and 90. Yeah. Amari Barno, number three with 81.6 on 14. Man, that I think Barno needs to get some more playing time.
I don't understand. Yeah. Dude, you're looking for somebody opposite Burns. Like, just put Barno in there for 50 snaps and see what happens.
Yeah.
What do you have to lose? You're 1-11. What do you have to lose?
The guy has 4.2 speed.
Right. Give him a chance. Even if he sucks for a game. Like, I'd like to see it.
He seems to make plays, too. And he's smart when he's making plays. I still think of that play where it was a screen, and he peeled off his pass rush and made a deflection. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem completely out of it there.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Where was C.J. Henderson?
C.J. Henderson. Let me scroll down. 18th.
Scrolling. Out of... 18
out of 22. He had 22 snaps. His tackling was his worst grade at 27.
Wow.
And Troy Hill was actually down there too.
Well, Troy Hill gave up the most of the Mike Evans yardage, I believe.
Let me see his coverage stats. He gave up that 75. He gave up 79 total yards. And 75 was that one.
Troy Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a big one. So, unfortunately.
When you lose by, three or so? Yeah, that's a huge.
Lose by three. Yep. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's move on to the game preview.
Yes.
The Panthers heading to New Orleans. 5-point underdogs. 37.5 is the over under, so another low over under. Oh, I saw that the Steelers New England game is 30. That's one of the lowest I've ever seen. 30. That's that 37.5 is not much higher. I would once again take the under. Although I believe Jameis Winston is probably going to start this game for New Orleans, so
yeah,
you never know with him.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get with him. But all right, injury report. Jerry, why don't you take the Saints?
All right, let me get started. Isaiah Foskey, Quadricep did not practice. Actually, all these guys did not practice. Taysom Hill, Cameron Jordan, Marcus May, Kendre Miller, Malcolm Roach, Rashid Shaheed. Those are all the did not practice. Now, limited practice, Derek Carr, Jimmy Graham, Juwan Johnson, Eric McCoy, Andres Pete, Ryan Ramczyk, Pete Warner, and full practice, Blake Group. Good bit of players there and some serious names, too.
Yeah, especially in the DNPs. I mean, Taysom Hill, that would be a big one.
Yeah,
he is like their offense right now. Him and Kamara are basically... And Olave, I guess, but all right. I'm surprised that Derek Carr is listed as limited practice. I mean, I thought he'd be out for
First
sure.
First of all, I like his injury as concussion rib right shoulder. Like
right. Yeah.
But I'm practicing with all that.
List the things that are not hurt on him. That might be a shorter list.
Rib, right shoulder, and concussion. That guy needs to be laying down in a bed, not practicing.
Yeah. He is also a right-handed quarterback, I believe. So, you know, right shoulder, not great. All right, moving on to the Panthers here. These four players did not practice. Troy Hill, Taylor Moten, both listed as rest. Thielen, rest. And then Deshaun Williams with a knee. The rest of these guys are limited practice. Von Bell, Bradley Bozeman, Jeremy Chinn, Yetur Gross-Matos, Marquise Haynes, J.C. Horn, Hayden Hurst, Stephen Sullivan, Tommy Trimble, and then Amari Barno listed as a full participant in practice. So, you know, not the shortest list on our end as well, but luckily it seems like most of these guys are, especially the ones that did not practice, was just rest. They'll be fine. Troy Hill, I thought, I was a little worried about him because he came out of that game and it looked bad. Like he was not putting any weight on that leg. So, you know, we'll see. Rest slash ankle with him, so.
Yeah, we'll see. It could be.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully he'll be all right.
At least J.C. Horn's actually playing, maybe for a full game.
Yeah. I mean, Horn and Jackson are actually, like, pretty good. And if we'd had them the whole season, I think that's at least a win or two that they would have helped. And then if you got Troy Hill out there as well, then you don't have to have a lot of C.J. Henderson. And that's the goal, right?
God, man, I can't believe he was picked, like, top 10.
Hey. I mean, he wasn't the top corner on our list that season, but he was somebody we had talked about.
Yeah.
And, you know, a person that we thought the Panthers could go after. So I don't remember who the other corner was that got picked before him. Was it the guy that went to the Lions, who sucks?
Oh, yeah. He was just traded, too. Yeah. He was traded a year or two,
Yeah. You guys know who we're talking about. All right. Key to the Panthers' victory here, Jerry, I think first key is the same key every week. Protect Bryce Young.
Protect Bryce Young. Whether it's scheme, whether it's running the ball, whether it's face masking a defensive tackle because our guards are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let him get hit so many times, guys.
Yeah. Just protect your guy.
Yeah.
Protect your guy. And Bryce, protect yourself.
Protect yourself. You know, don't hold the ball so long. If no one's open because they don't get open, chuck it to a cheerleader.
Run inside. A cheerleader. Or throw it in a spot where only they could get it. And maybe they make a play.
Yeah.
Right? I'd like to see you go after it a little more. Because some of these throws that don't look open, you can get guys open, depending on where you throw that ball. So, I do like, I thought they looked a little better. You know, we talked about it. They looked a little better last week. Interested to see what they look like with another week, speaking specifically of the offensive line. See if they change up that scheme a little more and get them a little more into that power blocking scheme that seemed to work so well last year.
Yeah, and Bradley Bozeman touched on that in that article.
He did.
He was talking about, you know, I came here, I was expecting to, you know, push and not this zone stuff.
Basically said that he makes his money running the ball downhill.
Yeah.
That's where he's made all his money. That's what he's good at. And again, just coming in here and changing stuff up that doesn't fit your personnel. It's you were never going to win like that, ever.
It's
infuriating.
We're not coaches. We don't have their long-term. How did they expect to do that?
Ego. Pride. Hubris. I don't know. All right, what's our next key here?
I'm going to go with hitting Jameis Winston. We know
assuming Jameis starts.
Yes, Jameis starts. We all know that when you get that pressure on him, he likes to chuck the ball still down the field. And to this day, he still hasn't learned it. Glass is fixed and everything. I mean, when you get under pressure, he has a 44.9 or PFF grade, 46.1 passer. I mean, that's what he does. And his interceptions are all deep. Like 20 yards or more. So he likes to just chuck it up there, especially under pressure.
And I'll take my chances with Horn and Dante out there, the way they've been playing. You know, Horn's always good when he's out there. Dante's been playing really good this year.
Yeah.
And if they give them an opportunity, creating turnovers, the next key I was going to talk about, is going to be a real key in this game, I think. You know, got to stop them from scoring and get ourselves maybe some short fields, just extra possessions, because we need all the possessions we can get.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I think it's possible.
Especially
if Jameis starts. He loves to turn the ball over.
I think this is a real winnable game for the Panthers. I mean, yeah. I say that caveat, obviously, you know, we're one in whatever number.
All the division games, though, I mean, everybody sucks.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's good. So, they're all winnable for most teams.
And there is one other thing I want to say. Run the ball. You did well last week. Look, we are in that game. Here's my only caveat. Don't give it to Miles Sanders so much, especially on important downs. Give it to Chuba. Yeah. I would prefer to see Blackshear with the ball in his hands on more important downs than I do Sanders.
Give me less than 5 Sanders touches.
Yes.
And I feel like we're in good shape running the ball. Chuba, you know, I don't know that Chuba's a RB1 on a good team, but he's certainly the RB1 for this team, and he should be moving forward.
I mean, if we got better blocking and better schemes, he could be. But right now, I agree with you. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. Honestly, defense, do what you do. The defense has been good this year. Yeah. Shut down Olave. Shut down Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's going to be a wild card. I mean, if he plays...
He always gashes
He's
you.
Just... He does, and he's always good against the Panthers. He's just one of those guys that... And I want... You know, I was thinking the other day, like... Is he good for an offense? I mean, because you have to, like... You have to do so many different things to get him involved. You have to take some of your other players out to get him involved. But... He drives the defense insane, right? Like, that alone is a good reason to have him on the team. And there's no other player in the league like him.
No, there's really not.
Yeah. Remember when we tried to get somebody like him?
Yeah.
That guy, whatever. All right.
So now that we're going to do what we always do and look at some predictions for this game... Starting off, bold predictions. Steven, take it away.
Bold predictions. You know, we're in week 13 here. Panthers are 1-11. Anything I say could be a bold prediction. Honestly, I don't have anything specific. It's... Do I think Bryce Young's going to have a 300-yard game? No. Do I think Chuba could run for 150? Maybe, but is that a bold prediction? You know, he looked good last week. Here's one. I think Chark will catch a 60-yard pass in this game.
Nice.
Not 60 in the air, obviously, but he'll have a 60-yard reception in this game.
Nice. It's funny you say that, because mine is going to be the receiver kind of opposite of him. Jonathan Mingo goes over 100 yards for his first time in his career.
That'd be great. I'd like that.
Yeah. I feel like I'd he's like finally starting to put it together, where I've noticed that he's getting open a little bit better and stuff like that. Yeah, he's not
gonna
dropping
ask
as
you,
much balls.
Do you think that they're purposely going away from Thielen and going towards Mingo, or do you think that's a product of defenses just keying on Thielen?
I think it's a mixture.
Yeah.
I think, especially on third down, that they realize Thielen is the guy, so I think they're guarding him a little bit more, and I think Mingo's out there, so you know they're trying to force him the ball a little bit more.
I hope Mingo... does well. I'd like to see him, you know, 300-400 total yards from now to the end of the season. I think that would be a really nice building block to go into next season. Yeah.
I think what with my opinion is, I also feel like he hasn't been having the drops that he had earlier. He still had that stupid out of bounds play where he didn't slow down, but
well, you know what? I think that was a catch, first of all. And
oh no no no! I'm talking about the one where he's run straight.
Oh, you're talking
a
couple
weeks.
Couple weeks.
Or
not last week. The week before. Yeah, that was. Boneheaded. I don't even know what that was. That was terrible. But yeah, you know, he's learning. I think he's going to be okay. I don't know that he's going to be AJ Brown.
No.
But I think he's going to be okay.
No.
Yeah, I think he could be a good solid WR2. All right, game predictions. I'll make you go first this time. What you got?
I am going to go crazy here. Crazy like a fox. 23-20 Panthers.
Oh my gosh, you're going over. That was your first
mistake.
Did
I go over? I screwed the pooch there on that one.
2010 Saints.
Man, you're gonna make us go back into that 10 and 13 points a game. Please.
I mean, I don't want to. I'm not making us do anything.
You are. You are making. If we only score 10 points, riot. Riot at Steven's house. Just joking. Don't really do that. That's really bad.
Yes, I live in Harrisburg. And my address is. All right. Other NFC South game. We got the Falcons and the Bucks playing against each other. Falcons a 1-point favorite. That's what I guess that's probably for
first in the division.
First in the division if we beat the Saints. So, oh my gosh, the person in first place could be 6-7 after this week. There could be a 3-way tie for 6-7 if we beat the Saints.
If we beat the Saints and the Bucks beat the Falcons,
or well, I guess the Saints would be. No, the Saints would beat us. They'd be 6-7, and if the Bucks beat the Falcons, they'd be 6-7. The Falcons would also be 6-7, and we would be 1-12. So,
besides us losing, I would like to see that.
Yeah, why not? Why not at this point? Like, I don't want us to lose because obviously it does nothing for us, but. You know, I'm starting to look at that 33rd pick and really do some mock drafts here, Jerry. Let me ask you this. Do you think in the offseason they bring in a new coach, they bring in a new GM? New GM looks at this draft and he's like, man, we got to create some picks. Is he franchising Brian Burns and then trading him? Just to get a first round pick?
It really depends on who the coach is. And what he sees in defense. Again, there's no other pass rusher on this team right now that you could say is a starting caliber pass rusher.
No, definitely not.
I mean, if you just get a first-round pick for him, that's great, but you're literally trying to find what Brian Burns is.
What is Brian Burns?
Brian Burns is a starting caliber pass rusher that can wreak havoc. I agree he's not a top. He's not one of the top tier guys.
Yeah.
But you need somebody.
He can be, right? He can be, he can play like one of those top tier guys from time to time. It just, he's just not consistent, unfortunately. I don't know, man. This team, I just don't see any light. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know what they do. To fix this.
This is a couple year rebuild now. What you're really hoping to do is build around Bryce to the point of you have a solid O-line, protect him next year.
Yeah.
You get a weapon for him. The rest of it, you make sure. And this is my step one. You make, because you got a lot of money in cap space. You get that O-line shored up. Either you draft a speedy wide receiver that you think can produce in the second or third round. God, I know second round receivers here. And then you go look at the defense and try to see what you can work on the defense with whatever assets you have left. Yeah. And then you just sit there and you're like, okay, this is going to be a 5-win team. Tops next year, unless magic happens. And then you're like, okay, now I got my top 10 pick. I've got some more resources. And then you go from there and you're hoping that you can push for the playoffs the next year. That's the way I would do it.
Yeah.
Bryce is your number one priority, in my opinion.
Yeah. I just don't see a way where there's two or three signings that change this. You know, there's just too much dysfunction. There's too much to do. It's just really disheartening, really sad. You know, it's just this. I love this team, and I want them to succeed, and I want to enjoy the success. And I just, it's, we're years away.
Now, I want to. I do want to say I still think this O line can be a top 15, a solid offensive line. The problem is you're going to have to get a coach in here that understands what their abilities are and not force the wrong scheme on them like they currently. You need to max protect for Bryce quite a few times. Icky is the one I really am curious about. I think if I forgot our left guard's BYU boy's
Christensen.
Name. Christensen, if he can come back healthy, I think he could be at least solid there. You got Austin Corbett on right side, and if you could bring back Bozeman, I think those are solid pieces with Moten. You just got to figure out what to do with Icky if he can't play that left tackle spot.
I mean, the thing is, they're mostly signed. Like, Bozeman signed.
Exactly.
Corbett's got another year. Matt Moten's here. Icky's here. Christensen's here. Like, they're all here. And ideally, they'll be healthy at the beginning of the season. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, play what we did last year. That type of scheme worked.
It worked.
Worked well. Well enough. Like, they weren't, it wasn't amazing, but it was way better than what we have right now.
I mean, they ended
borderline
the season
top
as
10.
A top 10 offensive line towards the end. I mean, they were really good pass protection run.
Once Wilkes took over, especially, like, they kind of really came into their own. So, I don't know. But yeah, there's work to do, and we'll see who they get to do it.
All right, we want to thank everyone for listening. If you like the show, please let your friends know. Please follow us on Twitter at Meow Mix Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at mailbag at meowmixpodcast.com. And if you leave us a 5-star review with a comment on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it on the show. Please like and subscribe on YouTube.
We'll be back after the game on Sunday to discuss. Luckily, it is a 1 o'clock game.
Woohoo!
So, yeah, back to 1 o'clock. Until then, everybody stay safe out there and keep pounding.